Welcome to the podcast of Thousand Harbors Zen, featuring talks with Cohen France. This podcast is made possible by generous donations from our listeners. To contribute or to learn more about our community, please visit thousandharborszen.com.
What I want to talk about tonight is not particularly profound. It's maybe more like a public service announcement. Let's see. A few days ago, on Facebook, I spotted a conversation about Zen. There are lots. And in it, the person who had begun the conversation was making an argument that there are two versions of Zen. And not surprisingly, part of this argument was that there's one of those two ways is right, and the other way is maybe a little bit confused or a little bit missing the point. And in a moment of maybe not great judgment, I decided to jump in. And I said, you know, I'm not very comfortable with this this binary about these two approaches. I feel like one approach, which probably I was being lumped into, maybe that could be thought of in a different way, which opened up a whole conversation, which went in the only way that it really could have if you're into prognosticating, which is that it becomes a discussion about what Zen is, the definition. And to support those definitions, people bring in ancient texts, and they bring in quotations from the old masters, and they bring in commentaries about what so-and-so really meant when they said this, or what this Chinese character really means. This is the part we've been missing. If we just knew what this means, then we would understand Zen more properly, but there was something got lost along the way. I've been in a lot of these conversations. Sometimes I have the wisdom not to join in, and sometimes that wisdom just completely sloughs off of me and I step back in. And I bring this up because all of it is a reminder for me. And I'll let it be a reminder for you that Zen is not about Zen. We need to be very careful about this. And if we can, I think we need to be careful about it from early on. Or we can lose years getting stuck in the minutiae, getting stuck in the idea that if we only see Zen correctly, then we see all of it correctly. And so we study these books with an eye toward knowing the real answer. I've had people, I've mentioned this over the last year, a few of you have reached out to me in different ways to say, in a very honest way, you know, Cohen, I don't really care what Dogen said. I love the honesty of that. And we need to meet that honesty with honesty. When we read someone like Dogen, that should be a starting point. That's an excuse to ask ourselves certain questions. Among them, is this true or not? But also, if it is true, where does it take me? So when we read that quotation by Dogen, when we read that text by Dogen, it should be like walking into a space that's very, very big. Right? The danger is that we read the text, we read the quotation, and it becomes an end point versus a starting point. It becomes a way to put our seal on a belief or on an assumption and say, well, this case is closed because Dogen said this, therefore it's decided. There's nothing more for us to explore. We just need to do that. We just need to believe that. We just need to practice like that. We need to be careful never to fall into that end point. And as a community, we have to be careful to not let each other fall into that end point. There's one of my teachers in Japan. He likes to talk about the idea of a straight path. And what he says, because when he's teaching people from the beginning about how to do Zazen and what the scope of Zen practice is, he likes to say, you know, when you set out on this path, if you take one step in the wrong direction, every step that follows it will take you further and further from where you were supposed to go. You'll never get there. And then, so we have that. And then we also have this other idea of a straight path, where we say that the Bodhisattva walks in a straight line. These two are not the same thing. What my teacher in Japan is saying rests on the assumption that there's a goal, that this path is taking you to a place. And if, in fact, we assume that Zen or spiritual practice or whatever is intended to get you from here to there, and if we know where there is, then what he's saying is absolutely true. If you step out of line, if you face at the wrong angle, you'll miss it. And you will have wasted all that time, all that effort, all that practice. But when we say the Bodhisattva walks in a straight line, we aren't saying that the Bodhisattva is going somewhere. There's one way to talk about the Bodhisattva that says that the Bodhisattva is kind of walking down the street and she's saving these beings on the left and these beings on the right and kind of cleaning up the neighborhood. In that model, there's a kind of end point, right? At some point, everybody's taken care of. That's not what we mean when we say the Bodhisattva walks in a straight line. What we mean is that the Bodhisattva doesn't get distracted. The Bodhisattva isn't looking for something else, something other than this work of generosity. And so she doesn't veer this way or that. She moves forward with a clear purpose, but not necessarily with a clear destination. The Bodhisattva is doing the work of now. And the work of now is never over there. We can frame this practice either way. But I want to caution against any idea of this that makes your vision of it narrower, that makes it feel like there's this tremendous danger of getting it wrong. There's all this talk in Zen about the great matter of life and death. And if we wanted to open things up again, we might open them up a little more. We might want to say, well, Zen isn't really about Zen. Zen is about the great matter of life and death. But even then, I want to step back further, because when we say that, we can make that small. What is the great matter of life and death? It might sound as if the goal is to understand the meaning of life. or the meaning of death. It's interesting, but it's not that big. But just great matter. Great matter, matter is we use that word, it's really just as the big thing. The big thing. I've mentioned I had a professor who used to talk about the big thing. He taught novel writing. He would talk about how novels are about the big thing. Let's say that Zen is also about the big thing. I said this about vow as well. I don't think I need to tell you what the big thing is. I think some of you have an inkling. You have some sort of itch that tells you what the big thing might be. And I think some of you, for whatever reason, because of what you've experienced or what you've seen or what you've lost, have a much clearer understanding of what the big thing is. What it means for it to be seen and what it means for it to be resolved. And then all of this that we do, the sitting and the bowing and the chanting and the outfits and the incense, all of it, they're just supports. They're a system of supports for you to face and explore that big thing, which itself has nothing to do with Zen. It has nothing to do with Buddhism. Buddhism didn't invent it. Buddhism arose in response to it. Zen arose in response to it. I have to be careful. And I have to remind you all periodically, as a kind of act of full disclosure, that when I say Zen is this and Zen is that, I know that's not true. I trained within a particular tradition, which is Soto Zen. And then I was trained by teachers who have particular leanings within Soto Zen. And then they have their own experiences and their own ways of translating those leanings. And then I have my own experiences and my own language and my own culture and my own blind spots. And so there's a transmission, but it's always a messy one. Nothing ever is handed off in the way that it arrived. We make it really dirty, even as we're polishing it, and then we pass it along. And when I say Zen is, you know, next week or the next week or the next week, I don't necessarily want to give this preamble every time. So I'll say it now, and I'll say it again later. It's not just that there is no single thing called Zen. Zen is a fabrication. Zen is something that was made up to serve a purpose. It's also that it doesn't have to be Zen. Because the big thing is the big thing. If it's honest for you, if it's helpful for you to sit in this way and to chant in this way and to hold yourself in this way, just as it's helpful for me to wear this robe, then do it. It is offered freely. And you're in good company. But don't confuse any of that for the job that you have, for the work that's in front of you. for the path beneath your feet. Don't get lost in Zen.
You have been listening to a Thousand Harbors Zen podcast. Please visit thousandharborszen.com.